much of what they do happens that's unseen, and so much that happens is in a way that serves the church, serves the body of Christ. And so I've asked them to share their hearts today, and so you get, like, I don't know, 30 years of accumulated wisdom from a couple that has given their life to the church and given their life to a relationship with Jesus, and it's really an honor to be able to receive from them today. And I just want to welcome you and tell you, well done. Well done, you guys. It's an honor walking with you. They're going to share their hearts with us today.
And it's been a pleasure walking alongside this man in our city. Maybe for later. Anyway, we've been in relationship with the churches of Longview Kelso, the Bride of Christ, and it's been a pleasure to be walking with Jeff for these decades in the city. He's a champion.
Yes, he is one of my heroes. So I'm humbled with that kind of introduction. And I just want to start with prayer. God, you're so good. And what a privilege for us to know you. What a privilege that you created these clay pots that you might fill us with who you are. And that you've given us the privilege to have such a close relationship with you, that you've opened up who you are, like Dan described who you are, the Creator, and how that you have humbled yourself and you've come to be with us. It's beyond measure. It's beyond comprehension, because our finite minds just can't get there. God, we want to position ourselves in such a way that we get to where you are. And sometimes it feels like that we can't get there from here. So we choose to reposition ourselves some way, somehow. Teach us how to get back to the garden. God, we just submit this day, this hour, this time here to you, and we just thank you that we are able to be family. We can be real with each other. We can just be transparent. And we're loved by you and each other. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. We worship you. You're amazing. And this is an amazing moment. Every moment with you, every moment together is an amazing moment, God, and a privilege. We love you. We praise you. Amen. And Sandy's going to take it at the beginning because I got to find a Kleenex.
And that tender heart is what I fell in love with. I've never known him to not be a crier. Pretty awesome. So one of the themes that has kind of come through probably the last several months about revival is that it looks like a healthy family. And So I just thought, you know, part of healthy family is knowing each other, knowing who we are. And I know I need to know more of your details and of who you are. Miranda, I just saw a post that you put up. She loves hearing people's stories. And that's family, you know, sitting around and telling stories about your family and about life. Anyway, so we thought, I'm just going to start, try to make it brief because it's not really the meat of what we want to share, but just a little bio on our lives and just a summary. I know even those of you that know us may not know all of this, but especially those of you who are new. So anyway, I also want this to be interactive. There's something that I'll bring in a little bit later, but there will be parts where I really want you guys to be able to engage and receive as well, not just hearing us talk the whole time. But anyway, so we were enjoying yesterday morning sitting down and just kind of writing some notes down about our history and who we are, and it was just interacting, and we started telling stories and getting all, you know, emotional and everything. But it was just fun to prepare for it and just kind of look back on actually what has been 40 years this September for us. I know, crazy. Can't be that old. Anyway, so
she makes me look real good.
So both of us were raised in Christian homes, and they were involved in ministry and actually music as well. Imagine that. So Duane was in California, and his dad was a church planter and kind of had an evangelist heart, planted 4 churches, and Mama played the old 37 Gibson guitar that we've got, and was anointed in worship. She'd sing for revivals, and they'd go out in the tent for 2 or 3 weeks, and the evangelist would come through and say, "We got to have Sister Maudie, because when she sings, the glory comes down." Anyway, so that's Duane's heritage. And then my parents just were godly people. Mom was a songwriter. We did music together as a family as well. So it was just very blessed, feel very blessed to have those situations in our lives. So, but we realize now that even what we do as worship leaders, it's not just because we like music or because we were raised in music. It's because, in this case, it's a generational anointing for worship. It's part of a spiritual DNA that Mama Kirkwood was a pastor. So, you know, it's come down 3 or 4 generations, and now we see that in our children and even our children's children. And so that's part of a thread, because every one of you has a spiritual DNA. Every one of you has a spiritual inheritance. And, you know, it may not be worship, but it's something. And if you weren't raised in a home that feared the Lord, or, you know, that really followed the ways of God, there still was something planted in your inheritance, in your genealogy, that if it hasn't been realized yet, if it hasn't been accomplished, it's not too late, because you're still alive. And so that's part of what we want to share, just the amazing spiritual inheritance in the DNA that was intended for your bloodline. And so let me see here. Yeah, and so Duane's mom was from a pastor's home, but his dad was not. How many siblings did he have? Like 7, but Daddy wasn't raised in a Christian church, but he, because of Mama and them getting together, he dedicated his life to the Lord, and he changed history for the Kirkwood line. So he was the first, but now there's at least 3 generations because of their choice to follow God. So it's powerful what our decisions to follow God, to build our lives on his word and his purposes, will change the generations to come. It's just a powerful thing to me. So anyway, this is the first thing that I want to have some interaction, because it's a point. So as we were, you know, we've written little notes and bullets all week about what we would like to share, and we've figured out, well, that's probably about 12 messages. So what the Lord did last night was just, man, he was over there just typing away, and I was sitting there looking at the notes and not getting anywhere, except for the fact that in the morning I had done our family history. So I just went over and I flopped my feet up on the couch, and it's like almost 11, and I was going, Lord, I was hitting a wall. And he just showed me a picture of you and I and Duane, and we're standing here. And as I was bringing out these points, you guys were interacting, and it was a transition. And if you are willing, when we come to these points, I'd love for you to stand. If it's something you want to lay hold of, I don't want this to just be words of sharing our story. I want it to be something that's going to bring life. We have such a desire to see you guys walking in freedom, in the fullness. And we're still coming into that. We're still growing in freedom and in things. But it's because this is such a safe place to do it. And trust me, it's a rare safe place. I love being able to be here at Evangel.
Mm-hmm. Let me just say, what they're talking about is impartation. And they can impart things because of the generational blessing. And so if you're standing, you're receiving an impartation from the Lord of something that's been valued in someone else's life that's transferable, because the blessings of God are not limited to anybody. You can have anything these guys have. Anything that they have is available to you. So if you're standing, what you're receiving is an impartation from the Lord that comes through this generational line. It's a blessing.
Amen.
Well, thank you for that.
And I just want to say before you respond, is that when we were in worship today and Dan was leading, it was one of those spontaneous moments when he was just playing. I just, I closed my eyes, and I, this room was in my closed eyes. I was seeing this room with all of you people here, and this cloud had come down. It was like a fog. I grew up in California, and the tule fog was amazing. The cool thing about the tule fog is, and if you know anything about fog, I don't know all that much, except for this, it only goes down about 18 inches, and 18 inches above the ground is clear. That's why the fog lights that they give, they always put them down below the fog so they could shoot underneath them. But so anyway, I saw the fog come down today. And so this is what I think. Just bear with me. I saw people's heads popping up into the fog and breathing it in. Okay, so stand up if you want it. Just stand up. We're just gonna go and flow with whatever God wants for the moment. Okay, I got the keyboard set up. If I go back there, don't be distracted. We may go some other places. I'm known to be a person who passionately goes down bunny trails, But anyway, we will. Let's, Sandy, you want to pray?
Yeah. So, and then to just lead up to this a little bit is that this morning, you know, they say he's the God of the 11th hour. And that's basically what it was when I was trying to figure out what to say today. And then I just noticed it was like probably 11:11 when we started. But this morning I woke up and 11:11 was on my mind, because on my phone I have screenshotted every time I look at my phone. Oh, it's 11:11. Boop. And yes, Audrey and I talked about this about 2 weeks ago, 1:11 or 11:11. Anyway, so I had like four or five of them in just the last month of 11:11. So this morning I looked it up again, and now it's disappeared. But basically, you could look up a word that Doug Addison put, probably on the Elijah list, and it was about 1:11 and 11:11. But I just wanted to make sure I had it straight. 11 is a number for transition. And so I thought last night while I was laying on the couch going, Lord, what do I need to do? And I saw this right here, you standing. I thought, okay, that's a transition. That's like not only for me stepping out into something out of the ordinary rather than just speaking, having life and freedom released. So it's a transition. It's a transition period. Amen. But it's moving with a revelation into something new. Amen. And I feel like, and that was part of his word. It's not only the transition, but there's a revelation that comes with it to move us into what's next.
Yes,
so thank you, Lord. That all came together this morning. So even if you've never thought of your spiritual DNA or inheritance that's yours for the claiming, if you feel the Spirit drawing you to it, please stand and take it for yourself and your future generations. Ask him to show you what has been stolen or distorted. And there's no better time than now. So, amen. Father,
amen.
I just thank you for Jeff's word as well, because it is impartation. It's something we so are so grateful, Lord, for our spiritual inheritance. And we just pray for every person in this room, Lord God, amen. Whether they're walking in it, whether they're not, that today is the day to begin. And we just speak, Lord, life to everything that you intended for every name, for every generation in this room, not only for those standing here, but for those to come, Lord Jesus, that it will be generation after generation. You said 1,000 generations to those who fear God, and we just speak it over these people, Lord. We just speak the life of your spirit. Breathe life on the dreams that have died. Breathe health and strength into their spirits and their bodies, and faith for them to believe, Lord, that there is a new day, and it starts today, Lord. Let this be a turning point, a stake in the ground for the generations to follow, that this is where mom or dad or grandma or great-grandma or auntie or whoever stood and redeemed what's been lost. So, Lord, we speak redemption over the spiritual inheritance, over the DNA that was designed by you for this bloodline, Lord, and for each one. And we just thank you, God, for your beautiful plans, for your beautiful, loving design for each of us, and we just receive that, Lord.
And I say, God, you just release the giftings
Amen.
That is represented in that DNA,
Amen.
The DNA from heaven, that you would release the giftings for your glory, for your kingdom, and into the children and the children's children for generation to generation to generation.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
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 Yes, ma'am.
This morning I woke up, and I haven't written in a journal for several weeks, and I woke up and I wrote 11:11.
Thank you, Lord.
And this is what the Lord showed me, Isaiah 11:11. Now think of what just you got an impartation over generations being restored, right? And what the Lord has for you. This is Isaiah 11:11. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen to that. Yeah, I just found the papers, 11:11. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The number of transition, as it is often said, the 11th hour comes right before the start of a new day.
You may be seated, guys. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Also, 11 is associated with revelation that will help transition us into something new and overdue. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so I'm going to skip a bunch of this, but basically we, Dwayne and I met because of a music group that his sister and my parents were in. He'd been in Nashville, been traveling with a group and doing concerts and ministry with music, and basically, he came to help this group that my parents were in go to Nashville and record their second album. So I'd never met him, although his sister had flashed a couple senior pictures and said, I really want you to meet my brother. But anyway, I still thank her to this day. But so I was gone somewhere, walked into the house, and he had arrived from California, all tan and blonde. And oh, I told him I wouldn't do that, sorry. Anyway, so I walk in and here he's sitting up at my dining room table and it's like, you know. Anyway, that started. I love that.
So I'm basically shy.
He is.
I'm really shy.
Believe it or not.
I am. And so when she says, I go, blush.
Yeah. Anyway, that is where our love story started, in my dining room. And so he did help him do that, came for a while, went back to California and moved back shortly thereafter, and we started dating. I was 16, and he was 20. So anyway, that's the start of what you see here.
40 years in September together.
Yeah. Oh. Hallelujah. Yeah. So I was never the same after that, just saying. So.
Moving on.
Yes. Oh, well, he's got a message about first love, and you just heard about mine, so. After Jesus, of course. So we started out in music ministry with that group. We became integrated with that and my sister. So the Sounds of Shiloh would sing, and then we were the Young Sounds, and we would sing, and we did, you know, things around the area. We were going to Northwest College back and forth on the weekends to minister. So that's kind of our the starting of music ministry for us. And then after college at Northwest, when Dwayne came back, my home church needed a worship pastor, and the pastor said, you are here in God's timing. So he started part-time right before we got married, and then full-time after we got married, and that was 22 years of ministry there. So that's a summary for that. So I just wanted to cover our children. We are blessed with four. Judah is the one that lives here, and those three little munchkins that we bring because he has to work on Sundays, and Mama's in nursing school. So she's writing a paper today. Pray for that last 27 or 17 pages she has to write by tomorrow. Anyway, so that's Judah. Noah, Olive, and Ellis are here, and his wife, Becca. So she'll finish June 11th or 19th or something. Anyway, she's graduating. Judah's a tech at Comcast. And when we have, they've also been local worship leaders, which is that thread, you know, of anointing. But when we have more time, we'll tell you the miracle of why Judah's even alive, because he had leukemia at the age of 15. So amazing story, life-shaping. And then Gabe and Danny, the second son, are in New Zealand. They're in their third year as YWAM staff. They have a real heart for foreign missions. They have a one-year-old little girl named Samara, and they also lead worship on islands and campgrounds and at the base there in New Zealand. So Tabitha and her husband Jay are up in upstate New York. Yes, they're all so far away, but they're in the Lord's
way. I told the Lord the other day, I said, you know, so why did my arrows go so far?
We forgot it was God's arm that shoots them, not ours. You know, it's a little more powerful. Anyway, so Jay and Tab are in upstate New York, and they're worship pastors at a church there. They lead several times a month, but kind of also coordinate all the other worship teams. And Tab's a receptionist at a Medi Spa, and they have a little two-year-old ball of fire. They just call him their little warrior. His name's Gideon, and he's hilarious. So, and then Jesse, our youngest, is in Norfolk, Virginia, just graduated. We just came back from a trip to see him graduate in from Old Dominion University. He has a few more classes this summer, looking for a full-time job. He recently got engaged to Rachel, which is another amazing story of answered prayers. Everything I had prayed and spoken over Jesse when he was heart sick on a December trip here, between then and when I got to go see him for his birthday last year, I spoke to this little gal that he'd fallen in love with, and I heard in my ears her saying everything about Jesse that I had spoken, that I wanted someone to appreciate in him. And I'm just going, I've prayed for this girl for 26 years. It's amazing. Anyway, so we're thrilled that they're all pursuing God. He also is on worship teams two or three times a month doing drums or bass. So, you know, it's just a blessing I can't even put words on. So we're just thankful for FaceTime, texting, and email because we get to stay connected. But there's so many transitions in this life, and I know we still have many more to come. We're praying for wisdom in this year. This is a potential retirement year for Dwayne, and there's so many possibilities of what we could do and dreams that we can realize with that kind of freedom. So it's just a time of transition. I appreciated Lisa spoke over him last Sunday, a new page. There's a new page, and it's wonderful, and I'm going, yes, can't wait. And, you know, we didn't do everything right. We're not perfect. Our kids aren't perfect, but there's this holy thread that goes through all of it, and it's four decades of proven faithfulness, God's faithfulness, and a nearness and a grace that has covered it all. Lots of trials, traumas, heartaches, you know, real life stuff, tough decisions, but so many joys and rewards. And the Lord is the foundation that has kept us standing firm. It's like all day, every day, day and night. We just are so thankful for the foundation. You're going to get comfortable. And then I've said it so many times about my own testimony, just what my parents put into my life, and maybe this is going to be another time where you could stand up if it's applicable, but I call it like rails, because my parents believed in God, and they kept us in the Word, they kept us, you know, in church. It gave me rails. I just think of it like a railroad, but it gave me rails to run on, and I've never had to stray off of that because of knowing where I'm going and what's holding me. And so it's just been what has guided me through my life. And so if there are those of you that are raising children, or, you know, however it applies to anyone, if you want to stand up and just say, Lord, I need to have that kind of consistency in my life, to stand on the Word, to have the Lord reveal His Word to you in a way that it can be a daily walk, then just stand and receive that for yourself, that consistency, that and really it's like the train that leads to eternity, and I'm on it. I'm staying on it. So, Lord, we just receive that. We just speak that over these people, Lord, that we will stand on you, the only cornerstone, the firm foundation, with the power of your word and the life and truth of your word, Lord Jesus, to run on those rails and to stay on those rails and to reach the destination that you have for us, God. We just receive that and we release that to everyone who wants that today for themselves, to raise their children, to help raise grandchildren, whatever it is, Lord God, to just live a life unto you with purpose, amen. Lord. We just receive that.
Yes, God.
We just thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
So just a quick history of us, because we've felt called to this church or to this the Bride of Christ in this area early in our ministry, and we just knew that this is where we were supposed to stay. So 22 years at the other church, there was a few years of transition around the leukemia and different things. But during that time, we were at Shekinah and Evangel. Some days we would lead worship at Shekinah, and then we'd come over here for Evangel's evening meeting, so we would just drag the gear from Shekinah to here. So we were part of Evangel probably 3 years, and that was probably started about 14 years ago. And then we went to another church to minister as part-time staff for about 8 or 9 years. And then we just got to come back home, is what I like to call Evangel, about three years ago, I guess it's been. And it was so much like coming home. So that's kind of how we got back here. But we feel so blessed to be here for the last several years. We love this body. We love the leadership and the way they allow the Lord to move here. And we just want to thank you guys for loving us and accepting us, giving us a place. And it's a safe place. And I know I mentioned that earlier, but because of different circumstances in my life and even in our ministry, I knew in my spirit that this was a safe place to just love and be okay, be free, to try things out and in our giftings and callings. And you might not realize it, but this church is, I would call it one of the easiest places that we've ever led in worship. It's just easy to, we know that you're engaged in worship, and it's so easy to just release and worship. I don't know how else to explain it, in freedom. So thank you for that too, because it is a gift as a worship leader. So I've been able to let go of some fear of expressing things. Anyway, we're still growing in these things, but we thank you for that. And I've never felt the weight of a religious spirit here, and this is probably my next little transition point for people to stand. But I wore my necklace here. It's got a key and a lock that's the shape of a heart. And because of some of the upbringing, I was kind of raised in that more of a strict religious situation, and I'm a people pleaser, and so it got distorted in my heart where I had a fear of man. It was about appearances and looking to, you know, doing the right things to look like the good little Christian girl. And anyway, it got distorted in my mind to where it kind of crippled me up, and one by one I saw the chains. So after I kind of came out of that setting, the Lord literally showed me that I had chains from my neck to my ankle, and he put titles on them for me, but he showed me the key. But the locks were heart-shaped. Obviously, I was locked up in my heart. But anyway, so, and it was things like the fear of man, self-consciousness, fear of offending someone, and it was related to all of life, but especially in my worship leading. And so, anyway, it took some time to realize that it was idolatry, because I was caring more about what people thought than what was due to the Lord in worship. And so I had to repent of caring more about what man thought, he was the one on the pedestal, than what I was supposed to offer to God in the freedom of how he created me. And so now I understand the beauty of being able to worship him in spirit and in truth, and partly it's because of what has been established here at Evangel, and I'm just so thankful for that. But the truth, spirit and truth, true to who we are, You know, we can be all bottled up and all locked up, but if you envision yourself doing things in worship, or if you do things in your living room that you don't do anywhere else because you're afraid to break free, those are the kind of things that would encourage the body of Christ. Because when one person steps out, I find that several people think, man, I wanted to do that too, if it's kneeling or worshiping through dance or whatever. So anyway, so
I want to give a case in point for this whole thing, and I forewarned Rick Pingle that I might mention his name. So was it last time we led worship? It was Easter. That's what it was. It was Easter. And my heart was burning for the recent, help me out with context here, that there was a call to rise up and to step forward into the things of God and to maybe consider stepping into a new act of worship, you know, and that type of thing. And so just a tidbit that, you know, we'll talk about it sometime, but David's tabernacle, it's mentioned in the book of Acts, Amos also talks about, in that day I'll restore the tabernacle of David and blah, blah, blah. So, but there's 16 acts of worship in the tabernacle of David, acts of worship, you know, kneeling, clapping, shouting, you know, all these different ones. We don't need to go that path today because it would take a long time. And I'll talk on it for a week type thing. But I just opened up the door and said, hey, why don't we step in? And you're allowed to come forward and everything. And so bless little Rick Pingle's heart. He comes forward and plants himself right here. He was a forerunner. And he released other people to follow. And it seems like that we all are waiting for some reason for somebody else to do something that you'll attach yourself. Yeah, that's what I want to do inside my heart. That's what I want to do. That's what I really want to do. And everything. Yeah, bless him for doing that type of thing. And we don't get that release, that freedom. And we're, in a sense, in our worship, we're even chained up. You're chained up. And there's so much more to press into. But Rick was a forerunner that day, and he opened the door. He cracked the hole in the dike for a whole lot of other people, and the floodgates opened up, and it was an amazing, amazing service. And he was a key worship leader. Amen. That day.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knew standing could be so powerful? That's awesome. So there are many of you who are examples of this kind of obedience and freedom, and I just want you to know, for those of you in the back, maybe, that just are actually, every move you make is tearing down strongholds. It's prophesying with your body. People that, you know, do things with their arms or whatever, it's changing the atmosphere. And so there are those of you, the best worship leaders in the congregation. It's powerful. You create a vortex where you are by just your obedience to be willing to move, or sometimes you're buckled over with the glory of God or whatever, but those of you who move or are just, you know, Lisa, I love it when you're just in the holy place right here. It's all so powerful, but that's what we're talking about, the freedom to just obey in the Spirit. You know, you're making declarations. So this will be the next little transition, our 11-11 here, is for those of you who do want, I mean, how many times, I can't tell you how many times I've prayed, Lord, if they sing that one more time, I'll dance. And then it stops. I'm going, guess I missed it again, you know? Anyway, you've never prayed that, Jeff? No. Okay. Well, it's time for an impartation.
The party will begin.
Yeah. Bam. Okay, so so if anyone would like to stand and declare freedom over yourself, whether it's from that same religious spirit, I know there's people that were going, oh man, is that what that's called? I mean, you dream the dreams
of what you really want to be released into.
So anyone who would like to stand and know that you've got a key and a heart-shaped lock that's going to fall to the ground right now in the name of Jesus. to be able to do the things that you've seen yourself doing in your heart and be released. about things you've only dreamed about. Stand now and just speak that out to the Lord. Lord, we ask you to forgive us, Lord, for holding back the things that are powerful and precious to you, God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to just walk forward in your wisdom and in your anointing to be able to release whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be just in this building. It doesn't have to just be acts of worship, but we'll start with that, Lord, right now. Amen. Anyone Amen. That just wants to be released into freedom and not care what people think. I thank you for the revelation, Jesus, you gave me on one of the first Bethel visits when I was struggling. Well, they'll just think I'm showing off, or I don't want to stand out. And you said, as long as your eyes are fixed on me and I'm looking back at you, it doesn't matter who sees. It doesn't matter what you do. So Father, help us to just fix our eyes on you and see your gaze and know that as we move forward in these acts of worship, that we're glorifying you. Thank you, God, for that revelation. And then, Lord, for the things outside of this place, the things in the marketplace, the things at work, whatever it is, Lord Jesus, that you have placed gifts in us to operate in the power of your anointing, release, Lord Jesus, just release us to be bold.
Yes,
release us, Lord Jesus, to just take it out of here and to make a difference. It's power evangelism, and it's going to change this world we live in, Father. We just receive from you today the freedom, and I just thank you, God, that there's piles of chains around our feet right now, Lord Jesus. Yes, we just receive your freedom.
Yes, God.
And your protection, Lord Jesus,
yes,
in your
God.
Name.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen, amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm going to turn it over to Wayne, but I may or may not have, when I jog up or even walk up where I live, I just do a couple miles. And I've always got earbuds in, and I usually try to keep them down so that I can hear the cars. But, you know, I just love music. And the other day it was, oh, happiness. The Crowder song is grace enough for us. And I started skipping. Well, it's not uncommon for me to do that on the beach or wherever, but I usually kind of tame it down when I hear a car coming. But that day, I thought, I am not going to tame it down. And I just kept skipping, and people were slumped, people were waving. And I thought, maybe the happiness spread because I didn't turn it off. But, you know, 2 miles of skipping, I was kind of still having a little problem with my left knee. But anyway, so be free, for crying out loud.
And the truth of the matter is, most people look at something like that and they say, right on. Because they want to be doing the same. They want to be that same freedom. And so again, like Rick Pingle and like what all of us should be, is that be free and the other people will become free as well. So that's cool. That's cool. So again, I'm Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hoppity. I do it with passion. So let's hope that I did type. And it's just to keep me on those tracks that she's talking about, you know, because I'll just, you know, go. So anyway, we're going to transition into just something that's been on my heart, and it's from me personally. I think it's been probably 3 years that I've been praying this prayer that I just want a simpler life. Yeah. Anybody else?
Yeah.
And it seems like when you pray a prayer, it's like praying for patience. You shouldn't have done that. You know, because it seemed like the pendulum swings from that side clear to the other side, and it just gets more complex and more complex and more complex. I hear that most of the people here, I'm entertaining the idea of this thing called retirement, whatever that's supposed to look like, most of the guys who have done that, they say they're busier afterwards than they were before, but they're doing the stuff they delight in, and they're being fulfilled in the activities they're doing. Steve, I didn't recognize you, so we'll connect, okay? Yeah. Anyway, I prayed the prayer, and things have not gotten better, as we know. And I will defer to my notes here. I don't know what happens in life as we go. You know, I don't know how that happens, but I know that more responsibilities, more things that you've embraced, anything, and you think you can fit it all in. But the reason I have to wipe my eyes a lot is because I can't see when they water up. But anyway, I want to show you something here. Time has become so precious to me. You're talking about retirement. I'll be 66 in a month, July 5th. My wife's July the 4th. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. My wife was born on the 4th of July. I never miss it. So, yeah, I'm just really blessed. But time has become precious because I'll be, you know, and so, Sandy, you want to hold my mic for me? It's just like, check this out, okay? This is not to see how long we've been here. This is for something else. So, if a year were an inch, I'm right here where my finger is, okay? This is where my finger is, okay? That's where I'm at. If I live to be 80 years old, it's where the tape measure casing is. Okay, I just want to bring some reality of time and how precious time has gotten, you know? Time is precious.
So 90, come on.
My mom was, dad was 91. There we go. That's looking better. Mom, she was 96. That's looking even better.
Wanda Nelson's 92.
Wanda, my goodness gracious, I got a little ways to go to catch up with you. You're awesome. God is good. But how long do we have? And what are we spending time on? What are we in? I'm so sorry. What are we investing in? What am I investing in? And so the complexity of life makes me crave the simplicity of getting back to where I was, back to the place of first beginnings. I'm going to skip a lot of stuff here. It says, can't see. Sometimes it seems that the cares and duties of life are like the little foxes that steal the vine. Song of Solomon says this in 2:14 and 15, amplified version. Oh, my dove, here in the clefts of the steep pathway, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil and ruin the vineyard of love while our vineyard is in bloom. So here's the fruitfulness comes from the blossom. You know, the fruit comes from the blossom. And these foxes get in there and they playfully do their thing in the vines and everything, and they steal the vine and the fruit doesn't come forth. And so I'm convicted, as well as yearning, that I take action to get rid of the foxes in my life. And there's a lot of them. Life is complex. And I know that there are responsibilities we have to steward our children, to steward our lives, all kinds of things. And it may even be ministry. It may even be ministry that steals the vine. It's amazing. So many good and honorable things. David wrote one thing that he would seek after. One thing. The primary thing. And it seems like if we're not careful, we spend most of our time not on the one thing. Most of our time is spent on ambitions and things of earth and not so eternal. Watchman Nee wrote a little booklet, and it's out of print now. If you want a copy, I could probably come up with a copy for you. The little booklet titled Ministry to the House or to the Lord. And it's a great example. And I will say that even in worship, I have to get past the music to the Lord of the music. I have to get beyond the song to the Lord of the song. You know, get beyond the dance to the Lord of the dance. It could go on and on. Every act of worship, the acts of worship are just a response of the passion for the one thing that's in your heart already. And it's got to be the one thing that presses us into wanting even more and more and more of him. Because he says, from glory to glory, let's not ever settle for a great service. You know, and I know that the God, he loves his bride. By the way, he called us his bride. He didn't call us his housewife. The acting out of taking care of the place and doing all this stuff, everything. He's coming back for his bride, not his housewife. I think so. Pressing on. So as we press toward, where we step toward is to step away from something else. You can't step toward something without leaving the place you were at. Okay? And to enter into is also to leave. Okay? To come close is also to distance yourself. Okay? To pursue is to give up something else. Okay? So I'm not one who loves to live in the past because I feel like the greater things are before us. You know, they're ahead of us. That thing. I love what's new and the things that are being birthed by the Spirit. I love the idea of fresh manna. I understand that the manna only lasted so long and it would rot. Don't want that stuff yesterday stuff. Okay. So there's the idea that God makes all things new, and it's the new that he's always doing in us, and it's always unfolding, and revelation is always new. That's what revelation is. It's a new understanding, if you will. But there's another scripture that encourages to go back, okay? And it's in Revelation 2, 1 through 4. You all know it, the Church of Ephesus, okay? And I'm going to not even read it, just because you guys know it. The church did wonderful things. They were remarkable. They were the trophy of what it was like to be a church that was giving and devoted and everything. But he said he had this against them, that they had left their first love. And so I guess what's on my heart, you know, the first love, you know, the word first, I think it was in the Greek, it says bringing something from the past into the present. You know, the idea, the way you were when you were first in love. What was that like? What did that look like? You know, return to love for him, okay? God is coming for his bride, not his housewife. And last thoughts here. Just put down a bunch of little one-liners here. I love one-liners. And that we would enter into the love that we had for him at first beginnings. That we come back to something he really cherishes in us. Back to a time of passion. Do you remember? It was a time of passion back then. It was a time of elation. A time of being lost in love. A time when your heart was totally captivated. A time of running through the fields with him, so to speak, like the song says. A time when your senses were alive. A time when emotions were strong and expressive. A time when you were young at heart and not so, quote, quote, mature. A time of being more impulsive and not so calculated. A time of laughing and crying. A time when not so much mattered. A time when you said no to the other invitations. A time when thoughts... A time when thoughts were consumed by him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay? A time of spending time captivated by him. Time is precious. And this has become a reminder for me how precious it is. And I don't want to waste anymore. I want it to count. So, Sam, you got some. I'm going to go there.
Jesus. Isn't he great?
Oh.
Precious. So, I did have a thought as we were approaching this point, and I don't want to leave out those of you who maybe haven't experienced that first love yet. Yes. And so if there's any of you who would stand that just want that to start for you today, there's just, I mean, we could even talk more later about foundational scriptures for that. I wrote a bunch of things down. But Jesus came so that we could know him, so that we would have life in Christ. So if you want to receive Christ for the first time, the Bible says if you believe that God sent his son and you receive him and believe in him, your sins are forgiven, you're saved. And so I just want to declare salvation over the body today. And I want to declare it out in the city and out in the streets, Lord Jesus, that we would see that harvest, Lord, of those coming to the first love. Lord, we just ask you to stir up that first love. Just refresh, Lord Jesus, remind us of that gaze of your eyes. You're passionate for Jesus, and I want to share one more memory of one time Jeff Beck was leading, and I was standing over there just helping back up with vocals. And Jesus walked into this place. He walked right up this aisle with a satin white robe and a royal blue sash. And he walked in and he started knocking. And he was knocking on every heart in this room, saying, would you open? He just wants, he's so desirous for us to open up and trust him with our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. We just trust you with our hearts. Stir up our hearts to love you more, Lord.
You're full of life now. You're full of passion. That's how he made you. Just let it happen. Yes, you're full of life now. You're full of passion. That's how he made you. Just let it happen, yeah. You're full of life now. You're full of passion. That's how he made you. Just let it happen. You're full of life now, yes. You're full of passion. That's how he made you. Just let it happen. And he called one of us by our names to come away, and he whispers to your heart to let it go and to be alive. Yes, and he whispers to your heart to let it go and to be alive. Yes, he whispers to your heart to let it go and to be alive. Be alive. Be alive. Oh, be alive. Oh, be alive. The beginning when I was young.
running through the fields with you. So take me back, back to the beginning when I was young. Yes, running through the fields with you. So take me back, back to the beginning when I was young. Yes, running through the fields with you. Oh, take me back, back to the beginning when I was young, running through the fields with you. No place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be than here in your love, God. No place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be, God. No place I'd rather be than here in your love. Sing it again. No place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I'd rather be, no place I'd rather be, God, than to be with you, just to be with you. Face with you, God. Face to face with you, God. So take me back, back to the beginning, when I was young, running through the fields with you. So take me back, back to the beginning when I was young, running through the fields with you.
So Lord, we draw near. Your word says if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us, Lord. Just need to resist the devil and he'll flee. Oh, sorry, Jeff. So we just draw near to you, Jesus.
Amen.
I know that this, Dwayne and Sandy did an amazing job of personalizing this, but this is how God feels about the city. The letter to Ephesus was written to a city,
yeah,
to the people of a city, the Christians. And it's how he feels about Longview Kelso. It's also how he feels about our nation. So whenever you hear this call to come back, remember that it's not just about you and me. It's about the people in the city who don't know him, who are lost without him. It's about a nation who's abandoned its moral roots. And he's calling that a nation back. He's calling a people back throughout the world. And it's going to become a very real thing in the days ahead. Even right now, it's very real that he's calling us back to our first love. But just remember that he's calling us back, not just me back. I mean, you have to answer it for yourself first, but he's calling this city to something we've never seen before. He's calling this nation back to something we've never seen or heard of before. And I just appreciate the wisdom that's in Sandy and Dwayne. I appreciate the perspective they have, but it's more than just them. This is God's heart for a people. To come home. He wants, the Father wants his children to come home to him. And much of the church is just bored. They're disinterested. They're disengaged. And he's calling us to come home. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about all the other churches. No, I'm not really at all. But the Father's heart is for his children to come home. And we're part of that. We model that. And so I just want to encourage you, every time you cry out for us to come back to our first love, it's not just about us, but there's all kinds of other things that God's woven in there for us because he wants us to have a voice in the nations. He wants us to call his children home. He wants to call people home to himself.
I just wanted to add to or confirm what Sandy was saying when she was talking about the word transition. And when my grandma died last month, I just had this sense. I just was thinking about just a lot of my friends and whose grandmas have died recently too, and which, I mean, I don't think that it's normal. We're getting to that age, but I just felt like it meant something, that God was saying something in it. And I heard him say changing of the guard. And when she was talking about generational blessings, God said to me that there's generational blessings, amen, specifically in the women in your family and families around you, and that because of religious spirits and things, that there were things that they weren't able to step into in the fullness. And that it's a transition, it's a changing of the guard. And then it's that you're going to be able to step into that. And I believe that there's a time specifically for women to step into those callings and generational blessings that he has for us. That he has so much more than we have stepped into in the past. And this is a changing of the guard. And time for those blessings to be fully realized. And it's for men too, but I just think that women don't hear that as often.
Anyone?
Yeah.
Anybody who wants to stand with Annie in that, this woman.
Yeah, if you feel that, if you want to claim that and claim that blessing in your family and that changing of the guard and what he's giving, then just stand.
There's power in numbers. Let's stand together.
Father, we just thank you for the blessings that you have given us, the blessings that you've meant for us all along, that have been passed down. And we just thank you. And I just pray that the chains would fall off, that the religious spirits, that any other things that have chained us, that have kept us from full freedom and from walking in the authority that you've given us, Lord, that you just would release that authority today to these women, Lord. We release authority, we release the generational blessings, we release the fullness, and we release what we have in healing and to bring healing to the city, to our families, to the nations, Lord. We just release that, Lord. I just pray complete and total fullness and freedom in each and every one of these women, that they would be able to step into what you have called for generations.
Spinning, the just in the act of spinning in the dance releases so much power and creates a vortex in the spirit. And Annie and I both know that, but don't always find ourselves released in that. And I speak that over anybody else that has felt that or sensed that. But just the power to see this girl spin. One Sunday she wasn't able to make it, but I was going to have her be on worship team, and I said we could create a double tornado. Let's do it. Anyway, be free in that. Father, we just thank you for today, and we just pray. pray a complete covering over each person here, Lord, over our families, the people in our lives, our pets, our properties, everything, Father. We just pray your protection and your guard, angels of protection over us, Lord Jesus, as we go. We just pray that it won't just end here, Lord, but we will walk forward in the fullness of your Spirit in who you created us to be. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for your life and for your Spirit and the work that is ongoing. You're speaking and moving all day, every day in our lives. And give us eyes to see and ears to hear what it is you're saying to us, Lord. In Jesus' name.